The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday in a case that could change the way federal elections are conducted. Moore v. Harper is based on a once-obscure legal doctrine called independent state legislature theory, which argues that state legislatures can decide how federal elections are run in their state with effectively no in-state checks or balances. That means state legislatures can make their own rules for federal elections without oversight from state courts, governors, even their own state constitutions. We're talking about this U.S. Supreme Court case that could give state legislatures enormous power to regulate how elections for Congress, for president, are run in their states. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following this case? What are your thoughts? Have you been seeing the headlines, wondering what's going on behind them? Do you think state legislatures should have more power in deciding how elections are administered? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Eric Casper is a professor of political science and director of the Menard Center for Constitutional Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. Eric, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with this case in particular. It's coming out of North Carolina. The legislature there passes their voting map, generally regarded as a gerrymander, in this case in favor of Republicans. The state Supreme Court says, hold on, this violates our free election clause in our state constitution. So here we are in the U.S. Supreme Court. How do we get from there to here?
Sure. Well, once the map was adopted by the legislature after the 2020 census, it was because of these concerns that existed by at least some state residents about there being a partisan gerrymander that they filed the lawsuit. And this is in part driven by the fact that in recent statewide elections in North Carolina, there's been pretty close to a 50-50 split in terms of voting, you know, between the two major parties. And the way the map was drawn, it would give the party controlling the legislature, they would be expected to win regularly 10 of the 14 congressional seats. So this leads to the lawsuit where, as you pointed out, the North Carolina Supreme Court interprets this provision in the state constitution saying all elections shall be free. And based on that, they say, well, this is too much of a partisan gerrymander, and they order the trial court to go back and to redraw the maps in a way that would be more even-handed. The trial court does that with the help of some elections experts. But then at that point, the state legislators who voted in favor of this map, they challenge what has been going on, and they asked the U.S. Supreme Court to review it, which is what they did in oral arguments yesterday.
And then here comes this independent state legislature theory, this idea. What is that? Where does it come from?
Sure. Well, the theory itself is that the Constitution provides state legislatures the sole power to regulate these federal elections, at least in certain ways. And there's some room for Congress here as well. But where states are to be involved, the independent state legislature says that it is the legislature itself that does this, and they cannot be constrained by other state actors, particularly state courts. The textual basis in the Constitution for this is a couple of provisions. The one that's most noteworthy in this case is in Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution. It's called the Elections Clause. And it says that the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Now, Congress also has some authority to impose some regulations as they relate to congressional elections. But when it comes to state powers on these types of issues, the text of Article 1, Section 5 says that it is the legislature, and the text specifies the legislature, not the state as a whole. So those adhering to the independent state legislature theory say that because of this clarity in the text, it means that these are state legislatures who have the power to do this, and they can't be constrained by other actors, including even state Supreme Courts, interpreting the powers that the state constitution puts in place for that state's legislature.
What has been the argument against that? And a lot of legal experts kind of across the political spectrum filed briefs arguing against that theory in this case. What are they saying?
Yeah, well, the just to kind of back up for a minute, I mean, the modern origins of this theory on the Supreme Court date back to Bush v. Gore in 2000, where it was not an opinion of the court where the justices stuck with this theory, but there was a concurring opinion by Chief Justice Rehnquist in that case, where he says, you know, as a general matter, it's respect for federalism that compels the Supreme Court to defer to decisions of state courts on issues of state law. But there are exceptions where the Constitution confers a particular power on a state's branch of government. And in this case, dealing with Bush v. Gore, which actually dealt with another provision in Article 2 dealing with appointing presidential electors, which gives that power also to state legislatures. But it's the same theory that this is something for the state and that for the state legislature and the state Supreme Court can't overturn that. Now, the other side of this is that the U.S. Supreme Court up to now has never, a majority of the justices have never adhered to this theory. In fact, there are cases which we can go into if you'd like, dating back 90 years where the Supreme Court has said, well, actually, state legislatures are bound by the terms of their own state constitutions, even with this protection for state legislative powers in the U.S. Constitution. And some of the arguments that came up in front of the Supreme Court yesterday dealt with some important questions relating not just to Supreme Court precedents, but also to separation of powers and checks and balances, which are, I mean, they raise real questions when it comes to the independent state legislature theory.
Talking to Eric Casper from UW-Eau Claire, political scientist there and expert on constitutional studies. Looking at this U.S. Supreme Court case yesterday on the independent state legislature theory, how much power state legislatures have when it comes to arranging federal elections, setting the rules for them, things like Congress and U.S. Senate in their own states. Do state courts, do state constitutions matter? Call 800-642-1234 with your reactions to this case, your questions, ruling not expected for some months on that. Let's go to your calls now. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I've been following this for quite some time now, and it's the whole thing flies in the face of the premise of our Constitution with checks and balances, and concentrating so much power into one body just undermines all of that. And then when you consider how many states have been heavily gerrymandered, including here in Wisconsin, we have basically concentration of power in the Republican Party, which would give them minority rule, you know, and until who knows when. So the danger of this case is, I don't think it can be emphasized enough.
Lisa, thanks a lot for the call. A couple big things there, Eric. First of all, the checks and balances premise, that's what maybe we all remember from our civics or American government studies classes back in school. The idea that this particular power, at least at the state level, would have no checks and balances, the legislative body, or effectively no checks and balances, legislative body could set rules for this without the courts, without the governor stepping in. What do you think of her thoughts on that?
Yes, that was one of the things that was brought up during oral arguments yesterday by Justice Elena Kagan. In particular, this notion of checks and balances, and that we have understood that for a very long time as far as the concept of judicial review, to have courts have that authority to review the constitutionality of state legislative decisions in particular. And if you use this strict textualist interpretation that leads to the independent state legislature theory, it really calls that into question. And there's some concern with that as far as, you know, whether or not states in their legislatures would be able to do whatever they want. Some of those past Supreme Court cases where the court did not adopt the independent state legislature theory also speak to this. There was, for instance, a case that the Supreme Court decided in 1932, Smiley versus Holm, where the issue was the Minnesota legislature had put in place a congressional district map and the governor vetoed it. The state legislature challenged it, and the Supreme Court 90 years ago says, well, even with what the elections clause says, a state legislature is bound by the terms of its own state constitution. And in Minnesota, like in other states, it gives the governor that veto power over state legislation. There was another much more recent case from 2015, which dealt with a ballot initiative that had been put on the referendum that had been put in front of the voters in Arizona to create an independent redistricting commission, basically to take this redistricting question out of the hands of the legislature, give it to an independent redistricting commission. This passed. The members of the legislature challenged this, but the Supreme Court said that even with the elections clause, it doesn't prohibit the voters, as long as they're exercising a power that they're given by their state constitution to be able to use this initiative process to create an independent redistricting commission. The only catch with that case is that that case involving Arizona in 2015 was a 5-4 decision in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And we've had several changes in terms of the justices on the court since then. So we're not completely sure that you would have a majority supporting that position today.
We're talking to UW-Eau Claire Professor of Political Science Eric Casper about this case, Moore versus Harper, the Supreme Court case heard yesterday that could give state legislatures almost unchecked power to regulate federal elections within their states. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? What do you want to see from the Supreme Court when they rule in X number of months? Do you have questions about how this works, what it means? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Eric Casper, professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire, about a case heard by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday about how much power state courts and state constitutions have when it comes to making federal election rules and the independent legislature theory. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Eric, before we go back to our callers, I want to talk a little bit about what's at stake. Critics of the independent legislature theory are painting a dire picture of what lawmakers could do with this power. What are some of the possible consequences if the Supreme Court agrees with the maximum incarnation of this idea?
Yeah, well, if the Supreme Court were to go all in, so to speak, on the independent legislature theory, and there's a possibility they could have a more measured decision, or there's a possibility they could reject it altogether. We kind of work through each of those if you want. But if they were to go all in on it, it could mean that state legislatures are basically immune from judicial review when it comes to within their own state systems, when it comes to federal election regulation. At the beginning, you can think about that. I mean, that raises these real separation of powers and checks and balances questions. Depending on the state, there could be state constitutional provisions which are effectively nullified as they relate to elections because they couldn't be enforced in state courts against the will of the legislature. So if a state, for instance, has an independent redistricting commission, particularly if they established one through an initiative process, then that could be the end of that in some states. There are questions as they relate in particular to state versus federal elections, then, where you could effectively have two different types of elections that couldn't be on the same ballot because of the differences of how the state legislature might interpret the power it has over federal elections, but they wouldn't be able to do necessarily the same thing when it comes to regulating their state elections under their state constitution as interpreted by their state Supreme Court. And so that could lead to some messy situations potentially in terms of not being able to hold these state and federal elections at the same time. We might end up with more elections potentially. Now, if it were a more measured response, you could potentially have no change at all in terms of how these elections are being conducted currently. For some, that particularly, for instance, members of the North Carolina legislature, they see that as a problem, that at the moment it means that the state Supreme Court is able to take a rather vague provision in the state constitution and use it to limit the power of the state legislature. There were questions also raised at oral argument by some of the justices appeared to be more sympathetic to adopting this theory. Justice Samuel Alito, for instance, expressed concern about how state court judges are elected in almost every state. And so the way that things are going at the moment, if there isn't a change to that, it could mean that redistricting turns into more and more of a campaign issue for state Supreme Court justices, for instance, which could be inserting to a greater degree as we move forward more of a legislative question into judicial campaigns. But again, the Supreme Court could ultimately take an approach that gives a little more federal court oversight to this process, while not adopting in whole the state legislative or this independent state legislative theory, which could be something of a middle ground, which it seems at least some of the justices yesterday were willing to entertain.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jeff is with us in Toma. Jeff, hi.
Hi. So it seems that the underlying facts of the legislative makeup versus statewide elections in South Carolina and Wisconsin share some similar characteristics. On statewide elections, Wisconsin has gone pretty much 50-50. On legislative makeup, though, you've got 70% Republican representation in both the state Senate and in the state assembly. Does any of this, or could any of this, have an impact on the way state legislatures take care of their own redistricting?
Oh, I gotcha, Jeff. Interesting question, Eric. As I understand it, the answer would be no, because state courts would and state constitutions would still have sway over the state legislative elections. Do I have that right?
At least with the issue being raised here, the independent state legislature theory, I mean, that relates to state legislatures and their ability to regulate these federal elections. Now, this, interestingly enough, this case and what's going on in North Carolina came before the U.S. Supreme Court a few years ago, and they were looking at this case, Rucho versus Common Cause, where the question was, well, does partisan gerrymandering as a general matter, is that something where the federal courts in particular can come in and do something about that? And the U.S. Supreme Court in that case ruled no, that there wasn't really a standard that the federal courts could apply to overturn partisan gerrymandering. And so that is, at least according to what we've seen in some recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions, something where they're saying, well, the federal courts in particular aren't going to tell state legislatures what to do when it comes to state legislative districts. But interestingly enough, even in that opinion, which was written by Chief Justice Roberts, he said that state constitutional provisions can provide standards and guidance for state courts to apply when it comes to these cases. So it's a long way of saying, number one, the U.S. Supreme Court is kind of deferring to state Supreme Courts when it comes to state legislative redistricting. And that's something that could ultimately be decided in a state Supreme Court. But secondly, even when it comes to drawing these districts in federal elections and for members of Congress, that case from just 3 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court is at the very least implying that state courts have a role in that process. So at least at that point, we had a majority on the Supreme Court that wasn't adopting the independent state legislature theory. And again, Chief Justice Roberts wrote the opinion suggesting the direction he might go in this current case.
Jeff, thanks for that call. Leah joins us now in Ripon. Leah, hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you can shed some light on the historical context of this provision in the Constitution. It's easy to see how it could be abused if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the state legislatures. I'm wondering if there was a specific abuse that this was drafted to prevent, and if that is still relevant today. Thanks.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's something that's come up a little bit in the briefs that have been submitted in this case, is that an earlier draft of the Constitution didn't specifically use the word legislature. And it just talked about states and their powers over these types of election regulations more generally. And that was then later changed to specify state legislatures. And it's not entirely clear what any purpose was behind tightening up that language, because it was during a process when a lot of things were being moved rather quickly. We have certainly records from the Federal Constitutional Convention that have survived today, but you know, they didn't have someone there typing up every word that was said. And you know, this is really relying on notes that were taken by the members who were there that they later, you know, had published. So it's not entirely clear why legislature was inserted into this provision and the other one governing electoral college selection in Article 2. It's something that in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, it hasn't been in front of the court as an issue very frequently. And the times where it has come up previously, at least, the majority has not signaled that this has the meaning that the North Carolina legislature wants the Supreme Court to adopt here. But again, that doesn't mean that they won't adopt that approach because this is really the first time this type of question has been squarely in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, and thanks for that call. And just our last minute, looking at the word legislature, it could mean, yeah, and just the legislature, nobody else gets to touch this. Or it could mean the legislature, of course, operating as in all things under its state law and its state constitution. How important a distinction is that, briefly, Eric?
Yeah, that was something that came before came up in oral arguments yesterday, kind of both sides of the coin on that. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson making the argument that, well, when the Constitution uses the word state legislature, it's with the understanding that it's the legislature created by the state's constitution. And so the state legislature can't do something in violation of the state constitution. Interestingly enough, Justice Neil Gorsuch commented how that Smiley versus Holm case, for instance, which was the one from Minnesota in the 1930s, where the Supreme Court said that the governor had the power to veto this. He said that case doesn't really apply because he read legislative power, at least he was implying you could read legislative power to include the process of a governor vetoing legislation. And so he viewed that as a part of the legislature and its processes and something fundamentally different from a state Supreme Court's ruling.
Eric, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Eric Casper, professor of political science, director of the Menard Center for Constitutional Studies at UW-Eau Claire. He talked to us about Moore v. Harper, the U.S. Supreme Court case heard yesterday that could give state legislatures almost unchecked power in deciding federal election rules. A ruling on that case, of course, probably months off now.